You may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever looked through a bag of grass clippings looking for a four-leaf clover, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
College football, full circle.
On the right, fake to Armstrong, run, book five.
Launches down the middle for McCleskey, and it's a three. Touchdown! They take the lead with 3 seconds.
Patterson to the end zone, drives his way in. Virginia Tech has won it in 6 overtimes.
The bowl season is here. Welcome to College Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius Channel 159 getting you prepped and ready for the college football playoff and the bowl season. Just about a week and a half away. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel. A lot to get into today, Scott. And what did I do to deserve this? Back to back with Scott Wetzel. I must be in detention right now. We'll break that down a little bit later as the show progresses. But Scott, two breaking news items that I want to get to. Mark Whipple, offensive coordinator with Pat Narduzzi and Kenny Pickett, he resigns yesterday and says he needs time away from the game. And all of a sudden, he winds up with Scott Frost in Lincoln, Nebraska. They're trying to lure Spencer Rattler to Lincoln to potentially turn around the program. We'll get your thoughts about that. And then how about LSU starting quarterback Max Johnson? You know what? Bowl season doesn't matter. It's all about me. You know, all the last 6 months of preparation, Ed O's not there, Brian Kelly on the horizon. You know what? I'm going to transfer the program. See ya. Bye. LSU goes from a 2.5-point favorite to now a 1-point underdog in their bowl game against Kansas State.
Yeah, that, you know, that's what sucks about these head coaching hirings, right? You pay $95 million for a guy. You think he's going to be the greatest thing in the world, and Brian Kelly may be, but no matter how great a guy is, even USC players are transferring out with Lincoln Riley coming in. I mean, you just have to know when you bring in a new head coach, you fire the old guy. Most of these kids, they came to the school because, you know, of the head coach, not because of the academics or this or that. And these guys, for the most part, won out when their head coach leaves. So it is a whole new rebuilding program. And that is so, again, I don't know why they bothered with a bowl. You know, these kids go out of their way, right? They made this big effort to get Ogeron a bowl game. Then he decides last second, well, you know what? I'm not going to coach the bowl game. So that they win the last game. They become bowl eligible. And now even the quarterback says, I went out of here as well. If not for the four-letter network ponying up the big bill for these bowls, there wouldn't be half the bowls that we have, literally. So, well, not surprised. Yeah.
Well, I'm not surprised. Well, I should take that back. I'm not surprised about Whipple because we know these coaches in terms of bigger and better, and I understand why the kids do it. Here's the problem that I have with Max Johnson. It's not that he wants to transfer. It's that he wants to transfer before the bowl. And it's right. One thing, I understand you don't like the coach. You don't know if he's a right fit. I get that. But you go to school, not just for the coach, but, okay, you like the university, right? You go, okay, I like everything about the university. I visited 10, 15 universities. The school, yes, I like it. The landscape, the students, the student body, the tradition. And on top of that, it could really maybe progress me and propel me into the NFL if I'm good enough. He comes from an NFL family. Brad Johnson was a former quarterback at Minnesota, Tampa Bay, Super Bowl winner.
Super Bowl winner, yeah.
Right, exactly. And what about the loyalty to the seniors, to your teammates? What about those guys that you, the blood, sweat, and tears? Forget the coaches. What about the guys that you hung out with all year? You don't owe it to them to just stick it out for one game? I mean, that's the problem that I have with it, Scott. It's everything is about me. There is no more team unity, no more team aspect. Throw it all out the window. It's all about me and my brand, baby.
Well, listen, if the coaches can do it, why can't the players do it, right? If Brian Kelly can up and leave before they even find out if they're in a national championship semifinal situation, you know, if Lincoln Riley can leave right after the season before the bowl game, why can't the players do the same thing? I mean,
well, because
it's not right. It's not
ones...
fair for the teammates. Yeah, I know. They're going through it all. They're really doing it for themselves. And you know, as far as the team is one and the coaches are separate, I get that. But it's too easy. They made it too easy for these guys to just get up and leave. It's a simple. I mean, I don't think it's not right. I mean, I don't think they should have to sit out a year. But when you give the opportunity like they have, they're taking advantage of it. And, you know. We all know. We say it all the time, right? How many times have you said these games are meaningless, meaningless, meaningless? So if you say it, I say it. We all think these bowl games are meaningless, except for the major ones. Then, you know, how does the football player not think that same thing? Why am I going to risk injury? By getting hurt in one of these, especially as a quarterback, getting hurt and then maybe ruining my career. So
I will say this about the bowl season. You know, if you better have a good gauge in terms of the cap. Because these lines can flip, and you could be holding on to a ticket for a week out thinking you have money in the bank. And then at the last second, coaches can bolt, players can bolt. And then the COVID situation in terms of travel, there's a lot to tread lightly in this bowl season. So you better have everything in order and your ducks in a row. Otherwise, you're going to lose a ton of money this bowl season.
Think about those coaches at LSU. They don't know if they're coming or going either, right? They have wives. They have families. I'm sure the wives at home are like, well, are we moving? Are we staying? Do we have a job, a week from now? I mean, I don't know how they can concentrate on the bowls either.
Yeah, we'll see how this plays out. When we come back, we'll start getting into some of the bigger bowls, get Scott and I's takes about who we like early on, also talk about the college football playoff between the top four teams in the nation coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
Back on College Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel getting you prepped and ready for the bowl season. Carver is on vacation. He's out in Waikiki. He's got a margarita. He's got a little umbrella in his drink. He's taking it easy, the good life, after he killed it last weekend. He'll be back on Monday. We'll start to go through all the early slate of games. But, Scott, I did want to break down some of the bowl games in terms of top games that are on your radar, but there is some breaking news that just came across. Get your take about it in terms of the Oregon coaching vacancy left by Mario Cristobal that did move on to Miami now. He's beating his chest in South Beach. I don't know if you saw that story. We'll get to that as well. Lane Kiffin and Dave Aranda are emerging as the top candidates to become Oregon's next head coach, okay? And my question to you is this. I was back on Lane Kiffin's bandwagon in terms of, you know, this guy is legit. I love what he did in Oxford. He's in the SEC now. Now he's going to go out west to Oregon? I mean, you got to explain this to me. You have the train rolling in Oxford. You're going toe-to-toe with some of the best teams in the best conference in college football, and now you're potentially bolting for Outson Stadium? I mean, it makes absolutely no sense to me.
Didn't I read where he just like not yesterday or 2 days ago, Tops signed a contract extension or at least come to terms on a deal with Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin? I mean,
yeah,
you know, I used to work with a guy. I won't mention his name. Good guy. I'm still friends with him. And
Sam. Sam.
Yeah, yeah. Joe. Louis the Lip, you know. And he used to tell me, hey, Scott, you're going to go after the so-and-so job. And I'm like, no, I'm fine here. I'm, you know, everything's cool here. Why would I do that? I don't know. You got to go after this job. He said, no, Arnie, why am I going to do that? Arnie, I'm fine. I'd like to go apply for all these jobs. I'm like, Arnie, it's Topeka, Kansas. You're doing network radio. You're telling me you're going to apply for a job in Topeka, Kansas? Well, what for? Well, just to kind of throw my name out there, you know? So I bring that up because I get the sense a lot of these guys, including Lane Kiffin, they just want their names thrown out there. They just want to be wanted, just like my buddy. They want to be wanted. They take it a step further by actually taking new jobs just because they want to see their names in the highlights and you know, be all the fanfare and everything.
Okay, so you're saying Lane Kiffin.
No situation is good. Yeah.
You're saying Lane Kiffin is a narcissist, and that all he is about him and his name in bright lights. It's possible. Yeah. I mean, you have one of the hottest quarterbacks in all of college football, potentially a first-round draft pick in Matt Corral, was on the Heisman radar. You lead the team to their first 10-win season in God knows how long, right? 10-2. You knock off Texas A&M in dominating fashion. You knock off Mississippi State now in the Egg Bowl. Back-to-back years, you've won that. From a recruiting aspect now, you're starting to build something in Oxford where, hey, you never know. The old man Saban, he's getting old. He might be losing a step in a year or two. Maybe you could overtake the Alabama Crimson Tide. But at least stay there to finish it out. It's not like Ole Miss is giving you $2 million and that's it. I mean, he went to Ole Miss from FAU because they gave him a lot of money to go there. And it's not like he's not on the biggest landscape in college football. He's on national television each and every year. Now you're going to bolt to Oregon? Glass Joe that couldn't step up against Utah in back-to-back games? Glass Joe, the Mario big chest crystal ball. I'm going to bag my chest on a locker, show you how tough I am. And then we get outscored by a total of 70, what was it, 76 to what? 17 in two games? You're going to go to that program. That's great.
Yeah. Listen, that's not his doing, you know, so I won't knock him on that. But it is Oregon, one of the more prominent teams in the Pac-12. But people are leaving the Pac-12. You don't go to the Pac-12 anymore. It's a dead conference, unless he thinks, you know, he wants to be with Lincoln Riley, and all of a sudden the Pac-12 is going to be the greatest thing in the world. I think it's just a matter of these guys' needs. I want to be wanted, and when I'm wanted somewhere, okay, you know, whether they use that as a crutch to go back to Ole Miss and up the ante even more so, maybe that's it. You know how these agents work, Joe? It's just, it is weird, because like I said, I know I read just the other day, literally 2 days ago, that he's getting a contract extension with Ole Miss. I mean, you got a good thing going there. I've never lived in Mississippi. Maybe it's not for him, but that's college football. That's why you can't yell and scream that much about Johnson at LSU. So if the coaches are willing to just, get up and run at last second, then why shouldn't the players as well?
Yeah, I understand. It's frustrating. Now, when you look at their bowl game, they are playing, and it is pretty ironic, they're playing Dave Aranda and Baylor, right? Now this line, and I believe it was Mississippi, was maybe a 2.5-point favorite. Maybe it got up to 3 at the start of the week when they instilled these on FanDuel. -1. Basically a pick'em game against the Baylor Bears. -110 either way, total set of 54, and at 54 flat, you know, it's tough. Which coach is going to bolt? If you're going to bet this game right here, right now, you better have a good gauge that Aranda's going to be there or Lane Kiffin solidified into taking this job. Otherwise, I say wait and see, because this line will move either way if one of those guys does solidify that spot in Outzen and Eugene.
Yeah, because like I said earlier, you know, those assistant coaches, they're not necessarily all going with them. Do they know if they have a job tomorrow? Is he going to bring them along with them? Is the new coach, whoever it's going to be, going to keep these guys? Does the wife want to get up and move again? So the last thing they're worried about is a meaningless bowl game. I tell you, Joe, these games are tough. My strategy, what I tell people is, whatever you're thinking is, be consistent. Meaning, if you're just going to base it on X's and O's and who's the better team, do that for every single game.
Yep.
Because you'll give yourself agita if you start to pick and choose. Okay, Ole Miss might not have their heads into it. Oklahoma State might not have their heads into it because they thought they were going to play for a national championship. So I'm going to fade them. But all the other games I'm going to analyze based on just strength versus strength. Pick a side. Pick the psychology side of things, which I'm fine with, or the physical side of things, like who's actually the better team.
Right.
But don't. Don't go back and forth because you'll pick the wrong one every single time.
Great point, Scotty, and that's why I stick to the X's and O's in bowl matchups and which team is more motivated based off of a season. Like, I look at a team like UL Lafayette or App State in the Sun Belt. Those teams are happy to be in a bowl game. It means a lot to them to play in a bowl game. Ole Miss, Baylor, it's like, all right, we did what we had to do. We got the 10 wins, and we got the conference championship against Oak State. That was our playoff game. Now we'll just mail it in. I did want to bring up Oak State because the developments of Jim Knowles, their defensive coordinator, top defensive coordinator that led that team with top-ranked, top-five statistical defense in college football, he has bolted to become the new defensive coordinator with Ryan Day and Ohio State. And that line against Notre Dame is still pegged at 2.5 in favor of the Irish.
Wow. See, I like Notre Dame in the game. I think Notre Dame would have the chance. See, I take the side of the psychology. I try and analyze which team do I think is really going to be in it versus the X's and O's. And to me, this is a huge chip for Notre Dame. I think they have a chip on their shoulder. I don't think they realistically thought they were going to get into the Final Four. They had some hopes, but it wasn't like a huge disappointment. They knew once Cincinnati won, they were done. So I think they're going to view this as their championship game. They seemingly like the new head coach. I think they want to prove to the world that there wasn't a Brian Kelly. There might be a little anti-Brian Kelly sentiment, like, let's show him, right? Whereas Oklahoma City is what are they playing for? Oklahoma State, rather. What are they playing for? Right? I mean, they thought they were playing in the national champ. They had it within their grasp, and they couldn't get to 2 yards. I don't know how Mike Gundy, who's never been confused with Vince Lombardi here, is going to get his guys up to play this football game.
That's a great point, but Gundy in the bowl record and the bowl setting is 10-5 overall. So he has stepped up and had his teams ready in the bowl contention in the bowl season. Did get the victory over Miami. Remember, that was the game that De'Ara King did get hurt. They won that matchup by 3 points as an underdog in that matchup. When we come back, we'll be breaking down some of the other matchups, including my all-time favorite bowl game. If you know me, it's the Sun Bowl. Washington State and the Miami Hurricanes coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Mike Carver and Joe Lisi.
Back on College Football Full Circle, for those that know me for years, Scotty, if I was an FBS head coach and I took my team to an undefeated record and I was staring the college football playoff right in the face, I'd say, you know what? We're not going to New Orleans, or we're not going to the Fiesta Bowl. We're going to go to the rolling hills of Texas El Paso. We're going to play in the Sun Bowl, baby. I love that bowl game. It is my favorite bowl game every single year. Okay, the fact that it wasn't played last year due to COVID, I was depressed as heck for the whole week. Didn't make New Year's Eve special at all. But that's okay. We got a good matchup between Washington State and Miami. But I will say this, Scott, the landscape of the hills in the backdrop, you have the sun cascading onto the beat-up turf for Texas El Paso. It's phenomenal. Go back to the games. Back in 1987, Oak State and West Virginia, Major Harris, Rusty Hilger, Thurman Thomas. How about that ball game a few years ago? You had Utah and Georgia Tech overtime. 1999, Minnesota, Oregon, overtime game. And my favorite, all-time favorite, 2006, Oregon State and Missouri. Missouri has Brad Smith. You have Oregon State there with Moore, the quarterback for the Dolphins. Remember Matt Moore and Evanston Bernard, number 26 for the Beavers. Two-point conversion. Mike Riley rolling it, baby. I love the Sun Bowl. Love it.
There was a streak. I don't have all my college football notes, bowl notes in front of me. But the Sun Bowl, there was a streak like 18-2 or maybe not 18, but pretty close, 16-1 underdogs. Just a phenomenal run at the Sun Bowl. So I told you I went to El Paso for the year.
I know.
I've never been to the Sun. Yeah, I know, right? I've never been to the Sun Bowl, the bowl itself, but I've been to the stadium, obviously, many times. And, yeah, you know, the kids wouldn't sit in the stand. They'd sit up on those mountains, and they would smoke their peyote, get high, and watch football. You know, watch UTEP generally lose about 60-0, but still enjoy themselves. It was a perfect thing. So, but it's a beautiful people said it's kind of like Mikey Stadium if you've been to Army.
Right.
Mikey's a little bit smaller than the mountains. I mean, the UTEP, it's like right there, surrounded all around. It really is nice. No trees or nothing. It's all sand and cactus and peyote. But it is pretty cool. It is. The school was nice. I enjoyed it for a year, but just wasn't good for my major. That's all.
And it's not a bad matchup, Pac-12 ACC. I'm not a big fan of how it'll look on the screen. You got the Hurricanes coachless in this ball game with Diaz being fired. Cougars in this matchup obviously have had an interim staff all season long and have stepped up. I mean, this is a gutty team. Quarterback DeLaura is a solid mobile quarterback. You have Max Borgi, a solid running back. They are 2.5-point underdogs in this matchup. Van Dyke has come on for that Miami offense, leading them to a 7-5 campaign. Total is set at 60 on FanDuel, -110 either way. This is a blind bet to the over. I know there's been games that have gone under, but this is Sun Bowl 12:30 kick, which is a little earlier. Usually it's around 2:30 Eastern, so I don't like that as much. 12:30 early kick. It's the morning, 11:30 a.m. Central. Give me the over in this ball game. I love that. But what is your favorite ball game to watch this season?
You mean because of the matchup or just because of the bowl? Any bowl?
Whatever
that
you want, Scott. This is we're open forum here. You and I, you know, we have an open forum. Sit on the couch. Tell Joe your problems.
How about any game that I can win? That is my favorite bowl game. That's how I kind of view things. Anyone that I could pick a winner on, I think I'm going to go there. So if I like the matchup and we're eliminating the major ones,
right?
I'm looking forward to Pittsburgh and Michigan State. Believe it or not, I mean, Michigan State, how could you ever say that, right? But, it's a battle between two good teams. Pittsburgh wants to throw the football. Michigan State wants to run and plot it away. I want to see if Pittsburgh can do it again. They played well. They played great against Wake Forest. They really did, especially the second half. So that's kind of an intriguing matchup for me to see if that continues for Michigan State or was the bubble burst and can Pittsburgh can kind of continue along.
Well,
so
I want to get your take on this because Carver brought this up to me, and it's a pretty good cap in the sense of what happened and what transpired with Mark Whipple, right? He coached up Kenny Pickett over the last couple of years. I mean, over 40 touchdown passes, a Heisman Trophy contender. He's going in New York this coming weekend. We'll see, you know, where he fares. Definitely not going to win it, but just a dynamic season, right? With Whipple obviously not coaching in the bowl game, Carver told me potentially Kenny Pickett came out at a press conference and said he's iffy for this bowl. And now Pitt is a -1.5-point favorite on FanDuel. So Carver was like, maybe I'll take Michigan State. They go to favorite, and then you have a middle to potentially grab with the backup quarterback for the Panthers should pick and not play in this ball game.
That's a smart thing to do. You know, it's funny. I saw him after the game, and he was talking about how the bowl was the next big thing, and it blah, 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 blah. That was on their radar, and that was, you know, they were playing for a national championship, obviously. So if he decides he's not playing, that would dramatically drop that line, right? I'm surprised if that's the case, the FanDuel and the others still have lines on the game.
You never know. The problem is he could come out up until the week of the game and say he's playing, right?
And
he could go to practice because at the end of the day, it doesn't hurt him to practice. He's not getting hit anyway. He still wants to stay sharp to increase his draft status, right? I'm sure he's going to sign with an agent, if not already. So at the end of the day, I mean, you know what might be good is the under 60.5. Now, we know that Michigan State has one of the worst secondaries in all of college football. They were giving up well over 320 passing yards to opposing offenses before C.J. Stroud ripped them for 434 and 6 touchdowns. They stepped up a little bit in the snow against Sean Clifford and Penn State, ended their season with a W. But at the end of the day, Jahan Dotson and that offense still moved through the air. If Pickett doesn't play, are we confident that Pitt could still put up points without their starting quarterback and offensive coordinator?
Yeah, that would be tough, right? I mean, I got to tell you, on the surface, I love Pittsburgh in the game. Because of that match of them throwing the football and everything. I really do like that a lot. So, but without Pickett, that's a whole different story. So, You know, if you're Mark Whipple, you know, he's had his day in the sun, you know, sort of. You know, he was a coach at UMass
a
couple times. Yeah, he won the national. He won the, I don't know if it was the last 1AA, but he won one of the last 1AA traditional championships. Then moved on, then went back to UMass. It was a colossal flop the second time around. Kind of like Randy Etzel over at the UConn. And you know, he's 60-plus years old, Joe. I mean, how many times do you want to move around? I mean, just, you know, you're not getting another head coaching job. I you know, that may be a better spot. I don't know. Pittsburgh versus Nebraska, you know, it's similar, right? I mean, does he hate Pittsburgh that much that he wants to get the heck out of there? I mean, I would think at like 60-plus years old, don't you ever want to settle down? These coaches, boy, you know, they're in the limelight and the glamour, but, you know, it's not an easy life hopping and stopping every 5 years or so. I mean, that's wow. I don't know if I'd want to do that.
It all depends on, you know, money, you know, maybe grandkids. You never know the situation in terms of why it played out. I will say that I believe Nebraska also signed offensive line coach Dominic Raiola. That was a former player as well.
Center.
So he is now on staff. So they're making a ton of moves. We know that in the middle of the season, Scott Frost, I forget what game it was. Was it the Ohio State game or was it the Michigan game where he fired like four or five assistants midseason to take the pressure off him? Yeah, it was late in the year. So now they have revamped that staff. And obviously Spencer Rattler was shown on campus not too long ago. We know that the Oklahoma quarterback is in the transfer portal. Does he end up in Lincoln? We know that Scott Frost hasn't been able to coach up the quarterback position since he's there with Adrian Martinez. So that's another concern.
And you see Martinez went into portal.
I tell you what, I got a high school out in Mercer County, New Jersey that Martinez could potentially start for with the amount of turnovers that he throws a game. Because, I mean, he could look as mobile and as athletic one game and then put the ball on the turf five straight times. And you're like, how did this kid even become a starter at a major program, right? I mean, it's amazing that... You see, that's the thing. If he's transferring to the FCS level or a MAC school, all right, that's acceptable. But if he thinks he's going to go to, like, a Pac-12 school and start at Cal, or like the way Garantano thought he was going to start at Washington State for Tennessee, come on now.
Right. You know, he might. You know, one of these smaller Pac-12 schools or even Big 12 schools, he might. He might, but I don't know what they're getting. They haven't done any research. If they, you know, if they think they're getting a superstar quarterback, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, here's a matchup because
glad that he left on. I'm glad he moved on from Nebraska.
Yeah. What do you think about this matchup? SEC Big 12 battle. Texas Tech 9-point dogs against Mike Leach and the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Will Rogers, Donovan Smith, two dynamic quarterbacks. But it is Mike Leach against his former team. Now Louisiana Tech head coach Sonny Cumbie, the interim for the Red Raiders, will coach in this ball game. He's a diehard. He loves his university. That's why Joey McGuire wanted him there, but he's moving on to be the head coach of the Bulldogs. He will coach in this matchup. It is intriguing. Total set at 60, plus 9 for Texas Tech. Are we buying into the Red Raiders here, or are we a believer that Will Rogers, the physicality of the SEC, just dominates this ballgame?
It might. You know, I like going with the side with the coaches when they face their former schools. Now, this is one stop in between with Washington State, and maybe enough has passed where it's not that big a deal. But, you know, if you're Leach and you're looking for some rallying cry, that would be it, right? This school ran me out of town and this and that. So I would go with the SEC in this one. I don't think Texas Tech has the power up front to handle them. I do got a question about another bowl game we come back to.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. If I'm not mistaken, and we could discuss it about Mike Leach, he still never got the money, I believe, from Texas Tech. That's coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
We left off talking about that big bowl game between the SEC, Miss State, and Texas Tech in the Big 12. We were talking about Leach taking on Sonny Cumbie, and I brought up the fact that this game possibly means something to Mike Leach, and it does. He's already starting. I don't know if you saw it, Scotty. He trolled Texas Tech saying that, you know, Texas Tech has a bell, but ours will be a little bit louder. They're going to allow the cowbells to be played in the stadium for this matchup. But that being said, in terms of, I brought up the lawsuit between Mike Leach against Texas Tech. And there is someone that had reported on FanSided that 100% chance that Leach himself will bring up the fact that he has still not received the full salary that he believes is rightfully his for that 2009 season. So if that's lingering and he's up, look out because he's going to look to tack on 50 or 60 on this ball club if he gets the opportunity.
Yeah, that's not a bad angle. I didn't realize he was still pissed off. What did he ever let Adam James out of the closet, though? Is he still in the closet? I mean, he denies
that
he ever
was why
did
he
that,
got
but...
fired, Craig James.
Yes,
that is why.
Yes.
That is why he got fired. So, you know, it is interesting. I mean, years later, we're talking 12 years down the road, and he's still a little bitter about it, right? And he does have the better team. I mean, Will Rogers has stepped up. I mean, a dynamic quarterback was putting up over 400 yards over the last three games of the regular season. I mean, just dynamic offense. They came from behind against Auburn, 28-3. Biggest comeback in school history. And that defense, I have to be honest, they're physical. I mean, they're a very underrated defense play, very solid on third downs, holding opposing offenses to around 35%. They were holding opposing offenses much of the year right in the area of about 120 rushing yards per game. You do that, you're going to make a team one-dimensional.
You know, the question I have about the bowls, Joe, and it happened so fast this year. I mean, for me anyway, you know, we had the bowl pairings of the Final Four on Sunday, and then literally Sunday, you know, remember, you know, I'll date myself, the old school. You know, you used to build up into all the other bowls, and then they would trickle out little by little, but they all kind of get thrown in our faces here. So, excuse me for not knowing, but I know teams get drafted now, basically. There are certain tie-ins, and then teams get drafted. My question would be to you is, we could have had some really monster Saturday, January 1st bowl games, and instead we're kind of stuck with a couple of dogs. You know, the one that stands out to me, and the question I have is the Outback Bowl tied into an SEC team?
Yes.
And if so,
it's always
it
SEC
is.
Big Ten. And I look, no, it Scotty, is. How could you say that? Arkansas Penn State is a great bowl game.
Not as good as Arkansas, not as good as Penn State Oklahoma.
Where are they?
I mean, I know the Rose Bowl is obviously tied into Utah and Ohio State. Is a Citrus Bowl? I got to deal with Iowa and Kentucky versus.
Well,
Oklahoma,
yeah, those are two. That's like watching paint dry because the total in that game is like 43. Now, granted, both teams can score. You got Will Levis, you got Spencer Petras or Padilla, whoever starts. But at the end of the day, two blue collar teams. But you see, that's a bowl game that will probably be very closely contested because it means a lot for Kentucky and Iowa. Remember you and I did Kentucky and NC State last year? That line was 2.5. I got screwed by a half. Yeah. I lost that ballgame. Chris Rodriguez, they gave the 30 yards in personal foul penalties that Kentucky got assessed. It was like the refs were sitting on a ticket. Unbelievable in that game. But I love the matchup.
Would you rather watch Oklahoma than Arkansas or
no,
Iowa
I love Arkansas.
Or Kentucky?
No.
I mean,
Arkansas has been good to me, Scotty. I took them.
How about Texas A&M? You'd rather not see Texas A&M than Arkansas?
Jimbo, I like Arkansas. I think they're a hot team. And not the fact that it's Arkansas, Penn State, I just automatically go back circa 1982. You know, may I go back to my childhood.
Frank
1984,
Royals
Billy Ray Smith, Barry Foster, Quinn Grovey. And I'll say this. Did you know, and I didn't even know this, did you know that, like, Arkansas has their own, like, almost like version of the Longhorn Network? One of the best coaches.
Really?
Because it's like Hogs Plus or something. I was watching something where they have, like, a 30 for 30. On Darren McFadden and Houston Nutt, who, by the way, Houston Nutt, 2003, Matt Jones. Are you kidding me? I mean, Darren McFadden, Felix Jones, Tony Bua. Tony Bua. Yeah. I mean, that team, go back to 2003. They were left for dead and buried in Tuscaloosa against Mike Shula and the Alabama Crimson Tide. They lost by 3 points. Go back to that ball game, controversial pass interference call in the end zone gave Alabama a critical field goal. But they were down like 24-6 in the first quarter. Houston Nutt, you want to talk about a riverboat gambler? Oh, man, loved
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but so, see, or how about Oregon-Oklahoma is a pretty good game, you know, but it's 9 o'clock on a Wednesday, albeit, you know, Christmas.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That should be played on January 1st. I know this sounds silly, but I almost don't even care, Joe, about the records of these teams. You know, give me Miami. Give me Oklahoma. Give me Oregon. You know, give me the teams that have some prominent name-wise, that have some cachet. To me, Iowa does a little bit, but Kentucky and Arkansas, I'm sorry, they just don't.
Let me ask you these games, because there's some good ones. How about UCLA, NC State? That's a meaningful game to both programs.
Yeah,
it means a lot to Chip Kelly. How about this one? Iowa State, Clemson. How mighty the
that's pretty good.
The right? I mean, Clemson's falling off a cliff. I mean, they're playing Iowa State, who are basically 7-5. Iowa State, that's horrible. I mean, they were terrible this year, Iowa State. And you don't hear Matt Campbell being mentioned with any job anymore. Nobody wants Matt Campbell. Talk about a guy not taking the opportunity. New Year's Day?
How about, I guess you give the guy credit or he's lying, I don't know, but how about Luke Fickell, you know, saying this week that teams did approach him, but he said, no, you got to wait till after the season's over, and teams supposedly said, well, we can't wait that long. I don't know if I buy that, to tell you the truth. Who name me the team, Notre Dame maybe?
I thought they were going to
go in-house. They appeared to go in-house right away, right? I mean,
I think Notre Dame was a big buy. Yeah, I don't know if USC would ever fit Luke Fickell.
Right.
I think it was Lincoln Riley's to lose at that point, assuming that they lured him. By the way, did you see that Lincoln Riley press conference yesterday? I don't know if
I saw little clips of it. I thought it was a goof. Yeah.
I thought it was a spoof before I saw Lincoln. This tells me USC, they're not going to tackle for 3 years. If that's their press conference, you're making a joke about it? Nah. They're a scam. I'm telling you, they're gonna be exactly what USC has been after Pete Carroll left. You want to score some points against Cal? You want to beat up on Oregon State? Two teams that you lost to, by the way, this year. They can do that with Lincoln Riley. But when they get up against the Alabamas and the Ohio States and the non-conference games, they're gonna get ripped. So
I bet they don't play any. No, you know, I bet they shy away from that and just say, all right, just get us back to prominence, and then we'll worry about some of the non-conference stuff.
They have a tough one, I believe. They did sign in 2024 the matchup with LSU. Remember that? That they decided to play week one to start LSU. How about this matchup? Because this is one of my favorites. Nashville, Music City Bowl, means a lot to both teams. Tennessee playing within the state. You got Purdue and Jeff Brom back to a bowl game. Prolific offenses, good quarterback play. You have Hendon Hooker that's coming back for the Volunteers. You have Aiden O'Connell. Does David Bell play in this game? The total was 58. I loved it on Sunday night. They steamed it right up to 64, minus 110 either way. But I think there's going to be about 80 points in this ballgame.
That's not bad. I like that one. How about BYU? Did you see Satani? Supposedly he's in line. Oh, not in line. I shouldn't say in line, but supposedly Oregon's interested in Satani from
BYU. All right,
BYU.
So if I gave you your choice, Sataki, Dave Aranda, or Lane Satani? Excuse me. No, it's Sataki.
Sataki. Yeah.
Right. You got me crazy here.
No, I'm blaming myself. I'm criticizing myself, not you.
I'm going to give you a list. Ready? Aranda, Kiffin, or Sataki for Oregon. Which one would you take?
I'm going to go with Aranda, even though he's only, you know, been there a couple of years, and I really like, you know, a 5-6-7 year guy. I do like what Sataki did at BYU. That was a program that was destined for falling off the map, and he's done a really good job there. So, a little unorthodox when you watch those BYU games. He does some funky things, but I'll go with Aranda from Baylor just because of, you know, he took a program that was completely down and out, buried, scandaled, everything else, and in 2 years made him a championship caliber.
I would as well. What he did on the defensive side of the ball in championship games, let's not forget, he did it at Wisconsin, did it at LSU with Joe Burrow, shut down Lincoln Riley's offense, and Jalen Hurts in that semifinal playoff game, right, stepped up in the national championship game as well against Clemson and Trevor Lawrence. And then you saw the progression. They were 2-7 last year, averaged 2.6 yards per carry. In they had nine games. I believe in eight of them, they rushed for less than 100 yards in every one of those games. And to think about the turnaround with Treston Ebner and Abram Smith is dynamic. How about this bowl game? We got Houston getting blown out by Cincy. They take on SEC opponent Auburn, 6-6, couldn't close the door against Alabama. If Brian Harsin loses this game, could he be out before his first year's over?
No, they could do that, could they?
It's Auburn. It's Auburn.
It is Auburn. It is, but I can't imagine that, no. So, and knowing that BYU or Boise, you know, kind of fell off the map a little bit, you know, if Boise was, like, great this year and Auburn was lousy, you know, it's like, geez, it maybe wasn't you after all. So, but no, I don't think so. I'm not a big Dana Holgorsen fan, so I get a feeling Auburn's going to win. I'm going to lean towards, you know, the SEC schools a lot this bowl season. My favorite little bowl, Joe, that is not completely off the radar, but not one of the big boys, clearly, is Texas San Antonio at 12-1 against 11-2 San Diego State.
Love
that's
it.
Pretty good. You know, that's 23-3. You know, Goofy, the coaches, these coaches are bird brains. And I know 90% of them don't fill out their coaches' polls. But a 12-1 Texas San Antonio, after winning its championship, regular season, postseason, didn't even get one vote, or at least wasn't voted into the top 25. You tell me you couldn't put that school, you know. That school was an undefeated team 2 weeks ago. You can't give them a little. They got a decent little win against Illinois on the road, Memphis on the road. It's not like a cupcake schedule completely.
Right. Dynamic
job. They should have thrown them a bone. You know, they really should have put them in the top 25.
I agree. Now, last year, they did cover as 13.5-point dogs against Levi Lewis and UL Lafayette. Again, I was on UTSA. We did it in-game. That was a very back-and-forth affair. They could run the football with McCormick. The fact that San Diego State lost on their home turf the way they did against Utah State and Logan Bonner, I think they're a live dog here. I like San Diego State from a physicality perspective. Plus 114 on the money line. You know these kids are going to give it their best effort. That's enough for me. Minus 105 and plus 114, on the money line. I think they went outright.
Yeah, and they're dogs, San Diego State.
Yeah.
They're getting 2.5. Yeah, I mean, so that little chip that they're going to be able to say, no respect for us. So, yeah, but that should be a good one. There's a couple of decent ones. As usual, I like the games better before New Year's Day than I do from New Year's Day on. Amazing.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's another good battle, Oregon State and Utah State. Oregon State is 7.5-point favorites. Total set at 66. We'll see how that plays out. When we come back, we'll wrap it up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
Wrapping up today's show, Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel. If you want to follow us as well, we'll be on Saturday morning College Football Today. We are the dynamic duo every Saturday. We take you through for 5 straight hours, 9 to 2. Obviously, the big ball game in MetLife between Army and Navy. We'll also break down all the bowl coverage, have some great guests on tap Saturday, so we hope to see you there. Scott, I mean, when you just look at these bowl games overall, and we'll talk about the top four teams, any shot Cincinnati can actually cover this ball game. I actually like them plus 14 against Alabama. I think you're going to see a ton of money off the SEC championship game pouring on the Crimson Tide. This line could get as high as potentially 15.5, maybe 16 before kick.
Yeah, it might, right? It didn't take long for it to jump from 13.5 to 14, that's for sure. I think they'll cover two, Joe. I don't think they're going to get blown out. We haven't seen that from Alabama for the most part this year. Cincinnati lives on defense. I think they'll go into that with a good game plan. I don't think they're going to go crazy. They'll try and run the football, keep it a lower scoring game. Listen, if Auburn and can hang and a couple of other teams can hang with Alabama, why can't Cincinnati, right? They didn't get blown out, albeit an unmotivated Georgia team last year, but still, they didn't get blown out, and I don't think Bama will blow them out when everything is said and done. Could Bama tack on a touchdown and get the old backdoor cover? Sure, but I don't think this is going to be like 38-7, 42-14 or anything along those lines. This is a good Cincinnati team. I don't think this is a great Alabama team. So, when you compare the two, I think it'll be a relatively competitive game.
You know what's like needling me right now is that, in these type of games, like just public perception, nobody believes Cincinnati can win. They're only plus 430, and I say only. I know it's a college football playoff. But when you saw Michigan State get blown out a few years ago, 38-0, plus 430 on the money line, Scott?
Yeah, it should be higher than that, right?
Yeah.
If it's 14, it ends up being 15, 16.
Yeah.
He's got a shot. They got a shot, except for me holding on to a winning ticket.
All right, for Scott Wetzel, Andrew Torres, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.